Let's turn over to 1 John 4. We spent a few weeks on this subject. We called it faith over fear. 1 John 4, verse 17. Of course, it's on your sheet too. 1 John 4, verse 17, it says, love has been perfected among us in this that... Oh, that's 17. Let's see. I can read 17. Has been perfected among us in this that we have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Verse 18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. He who fears has not been made perfect in love. If you look up a few verses, this isn't on your sheet, but verse 8 of chapter 4 said, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So God is love, and the Bible says here that there is no fear in love. Well, you know that. You know there is no fear in God. God is not afraid. He's not afraid of anything. And we as His children, if we know who we are in Him and know what He's done for us, we won't be afraid either. That's what this is saying. There is no fear in love. The Bible says in Romans that the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart, or been poured out in our heart by the Holy Spirit. So if we have the love of God poured out in our heart, and love, perfect love, God is perfect love, casts out fear, there should be no fear in our heart, no fear in our being. That love, knowing that love, being aware of that love, will cast out fear. Fear, it will be removed, be displaced by love. Fear involves torment. Fear involves being hassled, being dogged. People are in fear all over this world. They don't even know what they're dealing with. And then, like we said, people will seek out to be afraid, you know, horror movies and things. You should not mess with fear, yielding to fear. We, as children of God, we should have nothing to do with fear, nothing to do with things that make people afraid. You don't want to instill that in people, scaring them, even if you think it's a joke. Fear is of the devil. There's no reason you should ever play with fear. Now, don't get legalistic on, there's certain things, but that maybe people do, and they do mean to just be joking, but really, do you really want to put fear into somebody, even if it's for just a moment? Fear is awful. Why do you want to make somebody think something bad is going to happen and then say, oh, I was just kidding? Proverbs talks about that and says you're a fool if you do that. Say, oh, I was just joking. We're not supposed to do that. I'm not trying to be too hard on that. But really, fear is not something we want to mess with as a Christian. Even for a moment, fear is torment. You don't want to deal with fear. People are dealing very much with fear in this earth. There is no reason why you want to, artificially put somebody through that. Well, I'm just kidding. Well, no, that's not a good thing to do. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So if we fear, we're not understanding what Jesus has done for us. We're not understanding who He is in us. We're not understanding the presence of Almighty God that goes with us everywhere we go. Amen. Let's read 2 Timothy 1:7 on your sheet there. Excuse me. For God... Excuse me. Down the wrong pipe. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not been, or God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Fear is not from God. And the spirit we have, our recreated spirit, with the Spirit of God indwelling us, is not a spirit of fear. When you if you ever experience fear, just know that's not God's will. That's not His best. If we experience fear, we're not understanding something correctly, or we're not yielding to something correctly. So in other words, you could have some understanding, of some of the things God is and God has done to us, but if you won't yield to it, if you're experiencing fear, but you won't yield to what God has done, and instead you say, I just can't help it, I'm afraid. Well, at that point, we experience fear even though there's no reason for it. God has not given us a spirit of fear. We should rise up and say, wait a minute, this is not for me. I may be experiencing fear, I may be experiencing some emotion, but God has given me, not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And in the face of fear, you can rise up and say, no, I'm strong. No fear, I resist you. I will not yield to fear. Amen. And your knees can be knocking together. Mm-hmm. And the back, the hair on the back of your neck could be standing straight up. That doesn't mean you have to yield to it, just say it's too late. No, it's not too late. That's when you have to push back and resist it and say, no, God is with me. God is bigger than anything I might face. I will not fear. We talked about it. It's a choice.
Yes.
Last week we focused on it. It's not that we can't control it. That's a lie. To say that I can't control, I just, you don't know what I'm dealing with. I have no choice but to fear. That's not true. Now, you may be dealing with some stuff. You may be dealing with some stuff that I've never dealt with, but that doesn't mean God isn't up to the task and that His Spirit, with your cooperation, won't overcome it. To say, well, I can't help it. I can't help it. I have to fear. No, that's a misunderstanding. Let me ask you something. Does God have to fear? Is God afraid right now? Whose spirit do we have on the inside of us if we're a born-again Christian? His. So then if we say, I can't help it, no, that's just not true. That means we won't yield to the power of God that's inside of us. And instead, we're choosing to yield to fear. You know what I mean by yield? Anybody that drives sees the triangular yield sign. What does that mean? Give way. That means if there's a car merging this way and you're merging this way and you have the yield sign, are you supposed to just go on ahead of the car? No. They're expecting you to yield. Now, if they're using common sense, they're going to be looking to make sure if you didn't see the yield sign, they're not going to just plow ahead. But you're the one that's supposed to give in. Do you know what it's like if we're experiencing fear, but we just say, I just can't. You know what you're like? You're like the guy that just blows by the yield sign and says, I don't care. I can't help it. I'm going to go anyway. And then there's a wreck. What we ought to do is say, I'm supposed to yield. God, you're smarter than me. God, if you said that I don't have to fear, then I'm not going to. Yeah, but I'm scared. Okay, you might be experiencing the symptoms of being scared. That's when you have to say no. And Satan will paint you a picture of what he wants you to believe will happen, and it's negative. You're going to get sick with that. This bad thing is going to happen, and it might feel inevitable. Did you hear me? Yeah. He'll paint it in such a way that this is the only thing that can happen. This is what's going to happen to you. There is no other outcome for you. And he pushed pressure on you to try to make you believe that's what's going to happen. Your child is going to end up this way. There is no way it won't happen. And he'll show you a video. You know what you have to do? No, that's a lie. That's fear. And you focus on what the Lord says. You focus on what God said and say, no, I believe this is what's going to happen. He'll paint you a picture of you ending up, in some place bad. You're going to lose your job. You're going to die of this illness. You're going to end up crippled. And that can strike fear in your heart if you yield to it. But right at that point, it's not, the answer is not to say, I just can't help it, it's so real. It's to say, that's not true according to God's word. God said, and you need to focus on whatever covers your situation. God said he would never leave me nor forsake me. That's right. God said he's here with me. God said that he is my deliverer. God said he's my refuge. God said he himself took my infirmities, bore my sicknesses. You need to say he's my source. You need to say whatever it is that applies and say that's what's going to happen in the face of this other thing that's trying to tell you it's inevitable, because it's not inevitable.
That's right.
It's a lie. It's an illusion. What it is, it's a sales job trying to get you to buy it. Because if you yield to it and start seeing that that's the only outcome, now you set yourself on that course. Satan can't just push something off on you. He can't just do it without your cooperation or my cooperation. If he could, why didn't he already do it? He can't. But what he tries to do is he deceives people into getting them to cooperate with him and getting them to buy his bill of goods and agree that there's no way they're going to end up in whatever ABCD, whatever situation he's trying to sell, whatever the pictures. You know, he's got propaganda, he's got pamphlets, he's got videos that he will show you to try to get you to buy his bill of goods. And he's really good at it. He's a good salesman. He's trying to say, hey, look, this is what's going to happen to you. This is your life. That's all that you have. This is your lot. See this? This is what's going to happen to you. He'll show you a video in your head. See, this is you in 10 years. This is you in 5 years. This is your child. This is where you're going to end up on your job. This is you. And he's trying to get you to buy into his will for your life. That's why we need to know what God says. That's why this whole thing, that love will cast out fear. If you know what God has for you, if you know how much God loves you, you'll reject Satan's bill of goods. You say, no, that's not what God has for me. You're a liar. Just like a salesman that you don't want at your door, you say, sorry, not buying, shut the door in his face and tell him to go.
That's right.
Or maybe tell him to go and then shut the door in his face, whatever. But maybe you should tell him through the door. But anyway, you get him off your property and say, I'm not buying your stuff, leave. And you say, no, God has said this. Love will cast out fear and make it of none effect. But right here, this is one area. It says, we have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So you have to say, this fear is not mine. That's not what I've been given, and I will not tolerate it. I will not put up with it, and I don't have to yield to it. I do have a choice. And like we said, we just need to come against it and throw it out. Hallelujah. Now let's skip down to Romans. This is, we may go to some other things, but I want to get, this is part of what I wanted to get to today. Romans 8, verse 13. Thank you, Lord. Romans 8, verse 13. It's on your sheet. God is so good.
Yes, he is.
I'm telling you, when that time of praise and worship, he was preparing the soil to receive this. Shelly doesn't know exactly what I'm preaching on, and we don't orchestrate these things, and especially where she's going this morning. But it was preparing the soil for this. Some of the things that were coming forth. God is there. He is taking care of us. Romans 8, verse 13. It says, am I in the right place? Oh, verse 14. Romans 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy. Verse 16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him that we may be glorified together. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. If you're a son of God or daughter of God, this is a generic term here, you are led by the Spirit of God. God is always leading us by His Spirit, with our spirit, your spirit. Your spirit is being led by His Spirit. You can see that in verse 16. The Spirit Himself bears witness with what? with our spirit that we are the children of God. How do you know you're a child of God? Well, you act on the Word. And the Word, so you act on what the Word of God says to become born again, to become a child of God. But His Spirit, the Spirit of God, bears witness with your spirit that you are saved. And that's the same way He leads you in every situation. So for a son or daughter of God to say, I just don't hear the voice of God, is not true. Now, God is speaking to you. He's endeavoring to lead you by His Spirit. We need to pick up and start understanding that He is speaking to us. In other words, if you're a child of God, He has not singled you out not to speak to you. Well, you know, so-and-so hears God, but I just can't. That's not true. You can. It's just a matter of tuning yourself. And number one, knowing that He's... half the battle is knowing that He's already speaking to you. Do you understand right now He's speaking to you because we're reading the Word? That's the number one way God will speak to you, through His Word. That's why it's so important to read your Bible. It's not something so you can say, well, I read my Bible. Ooh, glad that's over, and go on. You know, you have a checklist every day. Read the Bible. Ooh, that's religion. You're not getting any brownie points for reading the Bible. Why do you read the Bible? It's spiritual food. You're putting yourself in contact with the voice of God. This is inspired by the Holy Spirit. So when you read the Bible, it is God speaking to you. So you're never very far away from the voice of God. Number one, open up your Bible and start reading, and you're hearing the voice of God. So as a child of God, you can hear the voice of God, number one, through the Word. And then number two, by His Spirit, bearing witness with your spirit is a way, other than the Word of God, is the number one way that He is going to lead His children, is just by bearing witness with your heart. It's peace. You'll feel peaceful about a decision. It lines up with the Word of God. It bears witness. Whereas something that's against His will cause you to feel a little unsettled on the inside. But He leads His children. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. In other words, there are no sons of God that aren't led by the Spirit of God. Now, you may need to know what to look for, but He's leading you. He's speaking. He's guiding. And it will help you just to say, I am led by the Spirit of God. I am led by the Spirit of God. Everybody say that. Say, I am led by the Spirit of God.
I am led by the Spirit of God.
He leads me.
He leads me.
I can hear His voice.
I can hear His voice.
Me. You believe it. You believe that. When you feel like I can't hear Him, that's when you need to say, I hear His voice. I hear His voice. I'm a child of God. I qualified. It says over in the Gospels, hit my sheep. Hear my voice. Are you a sheep?
Yes.
Then we hear His voice. We just don't know what to look for. This is part. Now, we have series on the web. Go listen to them. Multiple series on being led by the Spirit of God. If you want to hear more about it, go back and listen to it. We're not going to dive in that too much today. But go listen to it. We have message after message talking about this, because this is one of the most important things you can ever learn. Mm-hmm. Think about it. If you know how to listen to the voice of God in your life, then you are making decisions based on what He would want to do. You're already set up for success. If you know how to listen to Him, and it's a process, you'll learn. Don't ever be discouraged because you made a wrong decision. We don't get discouraged when we're learning a new skill. You know, classic example, when a child's learning to ride a bike and they fall down, you go, oh, well, forget that. You're never going to ride a bike. But Christians will be like, oh, I can't make a mistake in listening to God. Well, you learn it just like you learn natural things. It's okay if you missed it. It's better to practice in small things, though. You know, you don't want to miss it, go marry the wrong person, or go move to the wrong state. Those have consequences that have to go and buy, you know, invest thousands of dollars. It's good. Those are painful, but you know, learn on small things, and you'll learn how to be led by Him. It's okay if you make a mistake. You'll know. And then you say, oh, that wasn't Him. Okay, check. Note to self. That's not what it was like. And you get better and better, and you can learn. Amen. This is not out of reach for the child of God. This is normal. And it starts by just saying, I listen to God. I hear God. I know His voice. Even if you feel like you don't, even if you just made three mistakes in a row, you say, I hear him. I hear him. I am hearing his voice. I know what his voice is. It's getting more clear to me. I follow the Spirit of God. I'm in the right place at the right time. I'm doing the right thing. I'm going exactly on his plan for my life. It'll help you to say those things. It'll help you to say those things right in the face of when you feel like all that stuff is not true. It looks like you're in a dead end. It looks like you're in the wrong place. Looks like you just made five bad decisions and you'll never get in the right place. That's when you say it boldly. I hear the voice of God. I'm making the right decisions. I know how to follow the voice of God. Amen. So he said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Verse 15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. So a spirit of bondage again to fear. I want to read. Let's look on your page, your scripture sheet here. Don't turn there. We may turn there in a minute, but just for the sake of this, look at Hebrews 2:14. It says, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who, through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now I want you to notice these two verses. It's saying here, Jesus died. He became flesh and blood to share in the same situation that we're in, to experience humanity. He had to come as a human in order to redeem us, that it says through death, through giving his life, he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. So Jesus came and through his death, burial, and resurrection, stripped Satan of his power. He had the power of death. The devil had the power, but Jesus stripped him by coming as a man, fulfilling the law as a man, and he stripped the devil and took back the authority that Satan had stolen from Adam. And because of that, Jesus had all authority, and it says, and to release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. People being afraid of death, being in fear, were subject to bondage. Now go back to the verse we just read in Romans 8:15. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. So you see bondage and fear. Fear, we read over in 1 John in our text, is torment. Fear, it says here, is puts you in subject to bondage. And here it says, he hasn't given you a spirit of bondage again to fear. Fear, when you fear, you are in bondage to that fear. You are in bondage to be led by the enemy. We just talked about being led by the Spirit of God. That every child of God can be led by his Spirit. And that's our right and privilege as children of God, to be led by his word, by his witness, by the inward witness through peace, like we just touched on. But Satan would like you to be led by fear, by what you're afraid of. And that is bondage. It's torment. In other words, he tries to get you, you're afraid of something happening, so you won't do certain things. You're afraid of certain things happening, so you won't go certain places. And what does that do? It binds you, it keeps you in bondage to a certain path. It's not the same as having freedom and being led by God. So being led by the Spirit of God means that wherever God tells you to do, go, whatever he tells you to do, whatever he says in his word, whatever he makes clear in your heart, that's what you do. But when you're letting fear dominate, You're subject to bondage. What's bondage? It's captivity. That means you're constrained. Like, you know, people, if a person was a slave to someone else, what does that mean? They're in bondage. They don't get to make their own decisions, right? They're taking orders. Would you know Satan is the one that would like to keep all of humanity in bondage? In other words, he does not want you listening to the Spirit of God. He wants to dictate your life and keep you confined rather than free. God's plan for humanity is for people to be free and to reach all their potential and to engage in everything He has planned for them, for their abilities and skills and talents to be fully realized through following Him in His plan. Satan has an alternate plan where he tries to contain people and keep them in bondage. And a way he does this is through fear. People are afraid of all kinds of things. And it keeps their lives small. I'm afraid to talk to people. I'm afraid that I might fail. I'm afraid to make a mistake. I'm afraid to get hurt. I'm afraid of the plane crashing. I'm afraid I'll be rejected. Any number of things. And what does that do? It tightens the world, and it makes it so that you can only do such and such. Well, why can't you do this? Well, because this might happen. What about this? Well, this might happen. Well, what about, well, why don't you just go do that? Well, no, I couldn't because that person won't like me then. What if I say this, and they say this, and then they don't like me, and then these three people, you know, talk about me? That would be horrible. I can't do that. Well, why don't you get involved in this new activity? No, I might mess it up. I can't do that. Well, how about this play? Well, no, people might laugh at me. What if you took this job? No, I'm not sure. I don't like to interview. There's any number of things. You go on and on. What does that do? I can't. No, I can't. I'm in bondage. I'm not free. Somebody's heart might say, I really want to do that, but I can't because this might happen. What is that? It's fear. And this is a tool of the devil to take even Christians that have been freed in reality by the Spirit of God, that are actually have the Spirit of God living on the inside, are actually free. Fear is a way that Satan takes somebody that's free and actually comes in through the side door and still tries to make them his slave. By fear. Fear involves torment. Fear will lead you places you don't really want to go. You think you're avoiding something and you're actually walking right into something because you're not being led by the Spirit of God, like what we talked about. You're not being free to say, God, is this going to be okay? You're not being led by that or by what the Word says. You're led by the fear of something bad happening. That's not the same as being led by the Spirit of God. And do you know that something, it can look like this. If you would look on the inside, there is some decision that you're considering making. And could this happen almost any time, especially you're making a significant decision, but could happen anytime you're making any type of decision. If you're looking on the inside, one way there will be peace about that decision, and God would be leading you, and it seems good, it seems right. And at that same time, if you listen to fears, it could be saying, but this could happen, but that could happen. You don't, this thing might happen to you. So you feel, that's why it's so important to be led by the Spirit of God and not fear or lack of fear, because it could lead you in the wrong direction. Let me say this. So with a decision, if you feel peace about the decision on the inside, your spirit, but your head saying, yeah, but I'm afraid that if I did that, I could lose money. but this person might reject me. But on the inside, you feel peace. You should go with the peace, because that's being led by the Spirit of God. In other words, God will always warn you if something actually bad would happen to you, and He would not give you the green light, give you peace. But you could look at a situation in your head, or your fears will tell you no, but the Spirit of God tells you yes. On the flip side, you could look at a situation and say, you don't have any fear about it, and it seems good in the natural, and the natural looks like, yeah, let's do this. And on the inside, your spirit's telling you, no, don't do it. God knows what's truly going to happen, and even though maybe you're usually subject to fear, and for some reason you're not really looking at, it doesn't feel like there's anything to be afraid of, but what you don't know is the thing you can't see, you actually should be concerned about, but God can see that and He will warn you. But if you're just going by if you're afraid or not, you can miss God by doing things that you shouldn't do. Some people need to be, have not afraid, but they need to be concerned about the consequences of actions and are not. They're going headlong into certain things that it would be wise if they actually thought about the consequences of the actions more. And then there's other things they won't do because they're afraid of something bad happening. And they're actually both wrong. They actually should be slowing down, and they actually on certain things, even though they don't fear, and they actually should be stepping out on other stuff. But if you listen to God, regardless, if it looks really like, wow, you could lose money, this could happen, you could lose clients, but the Spirit of God's telling you, this is the way you need to go. We need to be free to follow Him. And to say, I'm not going to be subject to fear. I'm not going to let fear dictate my life because that's constraining. We need to step out there. See, our lives become broader, become more fulfilled when we don't let fear dominate our decisions. Satan tries to hinder us, tries to make people small, tries to put people down. And a way He does this is through fear. But God, He will expand you. He'll ask you to do certain things that you don't see how things could happen, how it could work out. And if you looked at it in the natural, you could be sensing. You could be tempted to be afraid. Now, if you're led by that fear, you're going to be bound. You're going to miss what God has for you. But if you look on the inside, God's leading you to something that's much better than you have. Amen. Amen. God wants us to, He has such good plans for us. He has so many things that He's wanting to expand, wanting to grow in us. But sometimes, and oftentimes I would say, we are hindered by the spirit of fear. And we have to learn to recognize it and learn to resist it. Learn to walk in line with His words, with God's words, with His ways, and learn to recognize if there's fear there and it's not God, I need to be real careful. I need to know that the very thing that fear is trying to tell me, well, if you do this, it'll happen, actually not. If I listen to that fear and not do the thing that I want to do, I could wind up in the same situation. This is how Satan works. He'll try to tell people, well, don't do that. Have you ever seen, ever maybe even experienced this? A person is afraid. They're afraid of somebody rejecting them. So they don't go and, let's say there was some situation where they had to work on a project or turn in an assignment or do something on a job, and they don't want to be rejected, so they put off doing something. Like, let's say, they don't want the project to go bad, so they're afraid of getting the thing done, so they put it off, And then they end up with no time to do the project, so the project goes bad. So it's like the very thing they're trying to avoid. I don't want to, you know, if I talk to this person, they might think they don't like me, so I don't want to talk to them. So they put off talking to them until the last possible minute, and then when they talk to them, the person is irritated. It's like, why didn't you talk to me earlier? So the very thing that they were trying to avoid happened because they were afraid of talking to the person. If they would have talked to them 2 weeks ago, they would have been okay, but they're afraid to talk to him because they don't want to be rejected, so they wait until the night before. Now they talk to him. Now the person's like, well, why didn't you give me any time? Now they get rejected. Why? Because they were afraid to talk to the person, and so the thing that they were afraid of happened because they followed the fear of not talking to him. And it happens all the time. Somebody's afraid of something happening, so they put it off, and then the thing that they didn't want to happen happens. Another thing, it's like people, one of the biggest fears is people speaking in public. You know, you heard differently, they say that is one somebody's that's biggest fear. People don't want to speak. So what's funny about that is that people don't want to talk in front of other people because they're afraid of making a mistake and being laughed at, rejected, whatever. And so when people have to do it, they're afraid of making a mistake. You know what fear does to you, your ability to think and your ability to articulate? It shuts it down. So you're afraid of saying the wrong thing, and so you get up there afraid and can't talk, and guess what happens? The very thing you're afraid of comes to pass because you're afraid. Singing. Somebody once said this, that singing is 90% confidence. There's a lot of truth to that. You know what? Same thing. You know what happens when you are afraid or tense singing? It tightens your vocal cords. You can't breathe right. Guess what? You get pitchy, which means you can't stay on the right pitch. You're nervous. You're nervous. That type of fear, it's going to make you actually sing poorly. So I'm afraid of not singing correctly. So I get up afraid, and guess what I do? I sing poorly. Do you know what actually, when you get up and you're uninhibited, you actually talk better, you think better, you sing better? I saw a movie once, and it was about this distinguished person that had a stuttering problem, very bad. And could hardly even get words out. And they recorded him, and this was a movie, so I don't know how close to reality it was, but it was based on truth. But it was, he was getting some help, but they played, and this was a long time ago, but they played really loud music in headphones, and so he could not hear himself. And they recorded him, and he actually spoke very fluently. He was so, but this is what happens when you're singing, people, when they're trying to talk certain ways and are afraid, they're so afraid and they're trying to self-correct as they're singing or as they're talking that they actually hinder themselves from doing the very thing that they want to do. But if you shut that feedback loop off, they can do it well. In this person's instance, he could not hardly talk. But they cut his ability to hear himself off and he could talk. Well, what is it? It's fear. Fear is bondage. Fear is constraining. Fear constrains us, hinders us from doing what God would have us to do. We're not going to take time to turn there, but you know the story of Peter walking on the water. He is walking on the water. Yep. How many of you in here have walked on water? In water? In water? On water? Okay. So you can't do it. We know now more than ever you can't do it. It's impossible. The laws of physics prohibit it. So he is walking on the water, but he starts looking at the circumstances in which he's walking on the water. He's looking at the waves, which have absolutely nothing to do with your ability to walk on the water. Zero. But because of that fear, he starts sinking. But that has nothing to do with walking on the water. So he starts looking at things that don't have anything to do with what he's doing, and he lets the things that don't have anything to do with what he's doing affect what he's doing. Which is exactly what fear does. It gets you to look at things that will never happen, probably will never, you have to never deal with. You focus on those things and start dropping what's right in front of you because you're afraid of something happening that may never happen. And then you actually start having negative consequences right where you are. So you're afraid of something happening that never may never happen. And because of that, you change your behavior and start now experiencing very real failure in your current circumstance. Why? Because you're afraid. Do you see how Satan works? Bondage. But we don't have to be like that. We don't have to yield to fear. Amen. We don't, look at those two scriptures we just read. Romans 8:15, you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. We did not receive a spirit of bondage again to spirit or again to fear. What did we receive? 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's what we've received.
Amen.
Hebrews 2:15, Jesus came to release those who through fear of death, we say, I'm not afraid to die. Fear of death is any fear of death in all its forms. Yes. You're afraid of failure. That's death. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a question. Does God fail?
No.
There's no death. There's no fear. There's no anything wrong in here in him. Fear of failure, fear of poverty. That's death. Fear of relationships going wrong. Fear of sickness, fear of literal death. But Jesus came to release those who through fear of death, because they're afraid, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Why? What's the reason? One of the reasons Jesus came to release us from that. Release us from the fear of death in all its forms so that we don't have to be in bondage. You know what we need to do? Believe that, receive it, act on it, and any time fear tries to raise up, say, no, no, no. Jesus died so that I don't have to be afraid. I will not be afraid.
Amen.
I'm released from that. I don't have that spirit. I don't have that bondage. I'm free. Oh, it's so much better on this side. So much better not fearing. Now, we can be tempted to fear, but so many times, it's just getting more and more clear to me too. Satan will try to make something look inevitable. Well, yeah, you messed up. This is going to happen. Yeah, next time. You know what I've seen? Let you in on a secret. He tells you, this time this is going to happen. You messed up. You didn't do something. So, yeah, I mean, you could learn from your mistake, but next time it'll be better. But this time you're just going to have to deal with it. You know what I found? It's right at that point you need to walk in faith and act in faith because it's not too late. What he's trying to get you to do right at that point is accept the bill of goods.
Yep.
And say it's too late. It's not. That's exactly the point where you need to resist it and say, no, it's not going to happen that way.
Amen.
Let me ask you a question. Is it ever too late for God?
Never.
No. He's trying to get us to agree with him. Say, no, I'm not going to be afraid of that. And anyway, what's the worst thing? Even if whatever you're trying, even if this is one way to flip it on its head, even if whatever you're saying happened, God's still with me and he'll bring me out.
That's right.
What good is it going to do me to be afraid? I'm not going to be afraid. So what? Even if that happened, he'd still be with me. So
that's right.
Take your best shot, bad boy, but that's not going to happen. I'm going to stand up.
Amen.
Yep. Amen.